reading from the prophet Isaiah. About Zion, I won't be silent. About Jerusalem, I will not grow weary until her integrity shines out like the dawn and her salvation flames like a torch. The nations will then see your integrity, all the kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name, one which the mouth of the Lord will confer. You are to be a crown of splendor in the hand of the Lord, a princely diadem in the hand of your God. No longer are you to be named forsaken, nor your land abandoned. But you shall be called my delight, and your land the wedded. For the Lord takes delight in you, and your land will have its wedding. Like a young man marrying a virgin, so will the one who built you wed you. And as the bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so will your God rejoice in you. The word of the Lord.
Proclaim the wonders of the Lord among all the peoples. Proclaim the wonders of the Lord among all the peoples. Oh, sing a new song to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Oh, sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the wonders of the Lord among all the peoples. Proclaim his help day by day. Tell among the nations his glory and his wonders among all the peoples. Proclaim the wonders of the Lord among all the peoples. Give the Lord, you families of peoples, give the Lord glory and power. Give the Lord the glory of his name. Proclaim the wonders of the Lord among all the peoples. Worship the Lord in his temple. O earth, tremble before him. Proclaim to the nations, God is King. He will judge the peoples in fairness. Proclaim the wonders of the Lord among all the peoples.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. There is a variety of gifts, but always the same Spirit. There are all sorts of service to be done, but always to the same Lord. Working in all sorts of different ways in different people, it is the same God who is working in all of them. The particular way in which the Spirit is given to each person is for a good purpose. One may have the gift of preaching with wisdom given him by the Spirit. Another may have the gift of preaching instruction given him by the same Spirit. Another, the gift of faith, given by the same Spirit. Another, again, the gift of healing, through this one Spirit. One, the power of miracles. Another, prophecy. Another, the gift of recognizing spirits. Another, the gift of tongues. And another, the ability to interpret them. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, who distributes different gifts to different people, just as he chooses. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited. When they ran out of wine, since the wine provided for the wedding was all finished, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said, "Woman, why turn to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." There were 6 stone water jars standing there, meant for the ablutions that are customary among the Jews. Each could hold 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And when they are filled, they will be filled to the brim. "Draw some out now," he told them, "and take it to the steward." They did this. The steward tasted the water, and it had turned into wine. Having no idea where it came from, only the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said, "People generally serve the best wine first and keep the cheaper sort till the guests have had plenty to drink. But you have kept the best wine till now." This was the first of the signs given by Jesus. It was given at Cana in Galilee. He let his glory be seen, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, having heard the gospel about that wonderful wedding at Cana in Galilee, we know that a wedding is a very special day for the bride and the groom and for their families and friends. It's a day of celebration of the love between two people who publicly devote their lives to each other. But I think we would all recognize that to arrive at the day of the wedding, a lot of hard work has to be put in, especially by the bride and groom. Apart from the important matter of preparing themselves spiritually, there's the matter of choosing readings and prayers and hymns, and there's the task of organising the practical events of the wedding day. Who's to be invited? Where will the reception be? Who will sit at which table? What menu will be chosen? Have we taken into account special dietary needs? Will everyone feel welcome and at ease? In fact, the overall preparations can be quite stressful. But the stress, of course, is worth it when, on the day itself, everyone is enjoying a meal and everyone is relaxed, including the bride and groom. Well, thinking of these practicalities of a wedding feast helps us to appreciate, I think, the scene we've just heard in the Gospel. Mary was invited to the wedding, as well as her son and his disciples. And at the wedding feast, all seemed to be going well, until the master of ceremonies suddenly realized that they hadn't ordered enough wine. Evidently, Mary was aware of this, and she decided to do something about it, for the sake of the newly married couple. All she did was say to Jesus, "They have no wine." Jesus' initial reply was not encouraging, yet his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Well, we know the rest of the story. and the happy couple, without knowing it, had been provided with a huge quantity of the very finest wine, a sign of God's love and his power. St. John tells us that this event, this changing of the water into wine, was the first of the signs given by Jesus. The word sign is used by St. John for a miracle, the first of Jesus' miracles, and it was brought about by the wish to make a newly married couple happy. In fact, they probably weren't even aware that there had been a problem about the wine. In St. John's writing, this wedding feast became a parable of the messianic banquet, in which Jesus replaces the water of the Old Testament, represented by the jars used for the ceremonial washing. He replaces that water with the rich new wine of the gospel. And at this moment, his disciples were able to recognize who he was, the Son of God. St. John wrote, "Jesus let his glory be seen, and his disciples believed in him." So the prophecy of Isaiah in the first reading had now been fulfilled. "You will be called by a new name, one which the mouth of the Lord will confer. You shall be called My Delight, and your land the Wedded." Yes, the bridegroom, Jesus, had arrived. That wedding feast at Cana must have been a very joyful occasion. And it's the same joy that's given to all of us who belong to the body of Christ. We too are disciples of Jesus. We too recognize who he is. We heard in the second reading St. Paul urging us to spread that joy of knowing who we are and our relationship with God. Spread that joy using the variety of gifts that we have between us. A variety, each individual, but always in the same spirit. And it's a joy that's shared by all baptized people, whatever their Christian denomination. Something we remember especially during this week of prayer for Christian unity. Today's gospel, we're all familiar with it. It's a very simple story, really, but a very deep story. St. John wrote on several levels, and I think it's worth just when you have a few minutes just to sit down and think about the event and the story, and perhaps seeing the story of the wedding feast of Cana from the point of view of the bride and then of the groom and then of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and then of his disciples, and then see how we fit in to that scene.